Fan-run radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
The league last night.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
You said you watched a good portion of this game?
Yes, I did.
Are you rattled right now?
Yes, I am. Very much so.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
You need some big women or bacon?
I've already had bacon today.
Just need a big woman now? A
couple of big white girls will be all right, though.
Ladies, if you're out there.
Oh, they're out there.
And you're listening.
They're listening. Big white girls are always listening. I'd like to bake biscuits with you. You and me. Tonight. My place. That's what it's called when two big people make love. Baking biscuits.
On 1340 WKGN.
You just got all that dough under the covers. That heat starts to rise. Now, if you get two big girls, it's like baking a whole loaf of bread at that point. I never have been with two big girls at the same time. Definitely on the bucket list.
I mean, Damian Lillard was dropping threes last night. Hour three kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. This batch of headlines brought to you by our friends, the McKinney Team, with Keller Williams, ZillowKnoxville.com, 865-548-8267. The clients come first with the McKinney Team, with Keller Williams. If you're in the market to buy or sell a home, do what I did. Trust the McKinney Team. Hour three headlines, Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Okay, thanks, John. Round two is in progress of the PGA's. Brooks Koepka in the lead. Yeah, Brooks is in the lead. I don't think Brooks is going to fade this time. Brooks is in the lead. He's 7-under. I think Brooks is probably going to be tough to beat at this PGA championship.
You don't think he's going to fade?
He's not going to fade. I know I said it once yesterday kind of joking around, but he's not going to fade this time. If you're a betting man or a betting woman, I think you bet your money on Brooks, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking anybody else over him. I mean, he went into the day with, a four-stroke lead?
Yeah, he's 7-under now. The guy is a stud.
He broke the course record. I mean, he is the best major golfer since Tiger Woods, in my opinion. Like, is that even disputed at this point? Feels like the last 2 years he has been at the top of every leaderboard.
Just based on majors, yeah.
Yeah. The thing about Brooks is he doesn't care about the other events, really.
There have been guys who are a lot more consistent who can't perform in the majors.
Like Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson is
the best golfer not in the
yeah. Always thought of as the best golfer, and then when he gets to the majors, and I haven't seen him win one.
Yeah.
Seems like, I mean, Brooks is at the top of every leaderboard.
Yeah. Brooks 7-under through, let's see. Well, that's as of yesterday, so he doesn't tee off until 1:49 today. Soong Kang making a push through 15. He's 4-under. Soong Kang is, I believe, a Chinese golfer and Korean golfer, excuse me. And then you have three more Americans, Daniel Berger, Jordan Spieth, and Dustin Johnson ran it out. They're tied for third. They're all through 14. Burgers through 17. So Tiger, we got a lot of Americans up here. It looks like that's a good thing, I guess. Tiger is he's way down there at the moment. He's down in the 50s.
Yeah, Tiger's not going to be a factor this weekend.
Unless he has just a huge day today. But he's 2 over par. So it's going to be tough to catch Brooks. If I'm Koepka, every time I win a major, I'm carving Brooks was here into the side of the clubhouse. Kind of make that his thing, you know? I think that'd be cool, wouldn't it? If they would let him do it.
If they'd let him carve a big here. Brooks was here in the at the clubhouse?
Just out in the wood, just in a small part on the clubhouse.
Oh, okay, so not like Brooks on the clubhouse. Here.
Nah, just his own little signature.
Well, you mean actually on the clubhouse wall?
Yeah, in the wood. In the wood.
I thought you were meaning in the woods.
No. You get the reference, right?
Yeah. Of course.
From the movie?
Yeah. Garth Brooks. Whenever he did that concert.
Shawshank Redemption, I don't know. It was a film in the 90s.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know about it. Yeah, it's kind of one of those films.
One of those underground.
You got to be really cool to have seen it, I think.
The real cultured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. Did feel bad for Brooks. Although, you know, there's something about.
Because he hung himself? Spoiler alert.
There's something about, you know, going in the system and not being able to come out of it. Like, you get institutionalized.
Oh, man. And then you think Morgan Freeman's going to do the same thing because he's running the same path.
So was Red.
Yeah, Red, yeah.
So not
Morgan Freeman.
That's what he carves next to it. So was Red, right?
Oh, yeah. He did. But he didn't hang himself.
You thought he was carving it, too.
Yeah.
He, Morgan went to the island.
Yeah.
To the beach. Spoiler alert.
He did, and he met Andy Dufresne there, and the final scene in the movie is them, Andy's working on his boat, and they greet each other. And
I like to think they lived a good rest of their life together.
I do, too. I wonder if we could ever get a sequel.
No.
Andy Dufresne and Morgan Freeman down in Mexico, just chilling in Cabo. Or not in Mexico. Cabo's a different place, but wherever they went. I don't know, Cozumel?
Tim Robbins has been kind of disappointing. Like, Tim Robbins, I would think Tim Robbins thought his career was really about to take off after Shawshank.
That was the high point.
I mean, that's a really good high point, right? I mean, that peak's about as good as it gets. Like, don't get me wrong, Shawshank's great, but I mean, what did he do after that was any good? I mean, I remember him in Antitrust. I liked it as a kid, but that movie doesn't hold up. Where he's, like, playing, like, a bad version of, like, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates. He hasn't really done anything since then, right? I mean, that he was like the lead guy on a really big hit?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm looking at his IMDb, and I don't even recognize half of these movies.
The only one I know of is Shawshank.
Man.
See John Daly making headlines yesterday at the PGA?
He had to have thought that was going to go so different for him. I mean, he did Bull Durham, was obviously great in Bull Durham. Twister. Caps it off with Shawshank. I mean, I liked Nothing to Lose, the comedy with, is that with Chris Tucker?
I don't know. A guy said he followed around John Daly.
No, that's with Martin Lawrence. Ah, damn it. I got it confused with, is it Money Talks? Did I get it confused with? Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen was the one with Chris Tucker, and then it was Martin Lawrence and Tim Robbins in the other one. Okay. That one was pretty good. I liked that one, I guess.
Yeah, I never saw that. The guy that followed John Daly around over 18 holes noted his consumption.
Yeah.
12 cigarettes, 8 Diet Cokes, and 3 packs of peanut M&Ms. That was it. Pure America, he says. Guy who followed him around for 18 holes. Now, that wasn't yesterday. That was just 18 holes. He was making headlines yesterday, and I guess this guy had followed him at some other point. Said he had 12 cigarettes, 8 Diet Cokes, and 3 packs of peanut M&Ms. A lot of Diet Cokes to consume over 18 holes.
It seems kind of mean that they're following him around keeping up with that, though.
Tracking all his intake. Yeah. Warriors defeated the Blazers.
Oh, yeah, we haven't really talked about that.
I'm surprised that we haven't talked about that.
It was a good game. We'll hit some NBA stuff. You got any other headlines?
I have one more.
Give me one more headline.
Pretty important.
Okay.
Very sad news to report. A death that occurred yesterday.
Okay.
Grumpy Cat has finally croaked at the age of 7. Her family said yesterday. The cat's actual name was Tartar Sauce. She hailed from Arizona. She died after complications arose from a urinary tract infection. You're familiar with Grumpy Cat? One of the first great memes ever. Like, when the meme age started and memes started to become a thing, and, like, was that 2011, 2012, wherever?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, look at these memes back when you thought you had the cool ones. You know,
she was just the cat that looked mean all the time, right?
She was one of the grumpy, right? Yep, one of the first great memes. One of the first internet celebrities with her piercing look of contempt is now dead at the young age of 7.
Oh, man.
That's pretty young for a cat, actually. For her to die that early. Most cats can live to, what, 15 years? What's the average cat's lifespan? 15 years, probably? 14? 15? Yeah, I mean, some of them live to be like 20. 2 to 16 years. That seems
Can't
like
wait for John Wick 3.
Hell of a range.
Tomorrow. It's going to be so good.
Grumpy Cat appeared on the Today Show several times. Helped millions of people around the world smile even when times were tough.
It was on WWE Raw one time. I remember that. She guest hosted WWE Raw.
Meme of the Year in 2013 at the Webby Awards. Beating out Gangnam Style and Harlem Shake.
Okay.
You remember those?
Wow.
Yeah.
2013 was a big year for memes.
It sure was.
Harlem Shake was a big deal. Everyone had their own little rendition of it.
She placed.
Give me your rendition of the Grumpy Cat look. Look in the camera. One more time? No, to me now. I want to see it now.
Oh, I'm not good at it.
Look at this one. Look at this one.
Imagine trying to do a show if we had to keep that face the whole time.
I'll do the rest of the show this way.
I didn't care for the Warriors Trailblazers game.
I don't even care.
I don't even care.
I'm going to. No. The rest of the show is going to be an homage to Grumpy Cat. I look just look high. Do I look grumpy enough? Okay.
I feel like I kind of look like Kane.
Kane?
Yeah.
I look like Kane.
You know when he used to make that face when he first had to take
this
the
mask
off?
Is grumpy enough? Still smiling?
Yeah, you got to change your lips. You got to
right now.
Frown.
Still not. I can't get grumpy.
You're such a happy guy.
Start talking about John Wick 3, man. I got excited. That's pretty good grumpy by you, Ben.
We can talk about Game of Thrones Season 8. That'll make you frown.
That's true. All right. We'll come back. We'll talk about what happened last night in Oakland as Steph Curry put on a performance. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Blazers almost had them last night. I thought the Blazers were going to steal one. They were up, 15 at halftime? They were up 8 with 4.5 minutes left, and it looked like they were going to get out of there with a win. But then Golden State does what Golden State always does, and they had a really good 4.5 minutes. That was a throwback Golden State performance where they need to muster up defensive stops, and they started getting defensive stops. They needed to start scoring easy buckets. They started scoring easy buckets. C.J. McCollum had a chance to help his team get a huge win, and he could not score down the stretch. Kind of ruined a good game he had going as him and Lillard kind of finally showed up, scored 45 points between them, which still isn't, you know, they still got outscored pretty heavily by the Curry-Thompson duo. Curry and Thompson combined for 61 points. 8 3-pointers. But in the fourth quarter a little bit, Cody, we got to see Curry versus Curry. It looked like Seth Curry was going to be the hero as he was hitting big shot after big shot, including one that gave the Blazers the lead back in the final minute before Golden State went down and scored twice and was able to hold off a final attempt by Dame Lillard as Andre Iguodala ripped him / blocked his shot as he was trying to go up. It looked for a second like the Blazers might at least give us somewhat of a series, but they end up falling. Did you watch any of this game at all?
I did not
Okay. Watch
any of this game at all.
I don't know. I mean, the numbers were big, though. I'm pretty sure the ratings came through pretty big on this. I think they drew a 6, which was up a pretty good amount from 2017 in a similar situation when it was a Warriors against a Spurs team that was overmatched. Now, obviously, last year's Western Conference Finals was Warriors-Rockets. That was a big series, but it performed pretty well.
Portland hung around for the most part.
Yeah, no, Portland. I mean, Portland led pretty much the entire game.
Was it who was it that was good for them in the first half? The guy who's is it CJ
McCollum?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was big in the first half, right?
And then he did not score in the he could not score down the like final 5 minutes when he hit a three to put them up eight, and it looked like, you know, Portland was going to maybe do this. And then as it started getting closer and closer, he just kept missing and missing and missing, and ends up the team worst minus nine on the court last night, and couldn't help seal the deal.
I listened to a little bit of the radio reports here on our station about the game.
Oh, yeah?
The first half.
What'd they tell you?
I didn't see it. I just remember them saying C.J. McCollum was playing really well, and they were keeping pace.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they were setting the pace. Like I said, they were up 15 in the first half. And this was after you got the news about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant out for at least the first four games of this series, which to me made sense. I thought at best he would be back game five, assuming it was 2-2.
Steve Kerr said it was worse than they thought, too.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, if I'm Golden State, I maybe don't even bring him back for game five if it's 2-2. Although I don't really think Portland goes up there and wins both games either. So I think at best you're coming back 3-1 for game five. And at that point, obviously, you don't bring Durant back. You just save him for the finals.
Yeah. They're probably not even going to need him this whole series.
But, I mean, Portland, if I'm a Portland fan, I was like, man, we're really about to steal game two, and then we just have to win two home games to really put the pressure on Golden State, get them down 3-1. And then it all came unraveling. And our chance for at least somewhat of an interesting series went out the window. Maybe. Maybe we'll see Portland go back home and the role players will play better. And, you know, Zach Collins plays better. And Enes Kanter will play better. And Minu and Mo Harkless, they'll play better. And, you know, Portland can hold court kind of like, you know, Houston did in 3 and 4. And then go to game five and have a chance.
At least Enes Kanter's not going to have to worry about going to...
Oh, my God. These guys got another five-star?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Breaking news. Wow.
Another five-star?
Memphis has the number one recruiting class in the country now.
What is this guy's name? Precious?
Precious Achiuwa. I would say I can't take him seriously with a name like Precious, but he's a five-star.
And he's going to probably beat our ass next year. So on the day when Tennessee basketball may officially die, as we know it, Memphis adds another five-star McDonald's All-American, Precious Achiuwa. They beat out Kansas, North Carolina.
I am currently in the process of deleting any tweets that reference Penny Hardaway. Yeah, God, that's a bad look for us. You remember us making fun of him back in basketball season after we went and beat them? They're about to beat our ass. With Precious Achiuwa.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
God, how's he landing these guys? I mean,
Penny Hardaway's cool, man.
Yeah, but I mean, I
know we made fun of him a lot, and he whined a lot, and he, seemed like a baby. But I mean, Penny Hardaway is a really good NBA player.
Yeah, but these guys are like, this is shaping up to be the best class. Well, it's the best class in the country. It's better than anything Kentucky's put together, and Duke at this point.
They have the number one and number nine players in the country. And then, yeah, like we talked about, I believe they have seven commitments in this class, and two of them are five stars, and five of them are high four stars. And they got
and
a really
big transfer.
And they got a really good grad transfer. My God. This, that game one when we talked all that trash, this might really backfire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's going to.
All of this might end up looking really, really, really stupid.
Yeah, we enjoyed it while we could.
My God.
Seems like Memphis made the right hire.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're Memphis, you're like, yeah. Remember when we had Josh Pastner? Remember when we tried to run out Tubby Smith?
Yeah. Penny's like, yeah, we'll play that series with you, Tennessee.
They have seven commits, which, by the way, seems crazy. I didn't know people had that many basketball commits in 1 year. Seven commits.
They're all good.
Two five-stars, two top 10 players, 5 4 stars, and the number two grad transfer.
Yep.
That's a whole new team. Like, no one that played last year is even going to play this year for them, right? I mean, they have eight new rotation guys, you would think.
Who's the one guy they got that came from Memphis East?
Yeah, was it Davenport? I think it was Davenport.
I thought Penny brought a couple of those guys over from his high school team, though.
Or no, they had Antoine James. He was 106, and Tyler Harris was 131. So I mean, they had a couple 4 stars, but man, that whole roster is going to be 4 and 5 stars.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. I mean, where does this put Memphis in terms of the expectations this year for them? I mean, this next basketball season. They got to win. They're definitely going to – I mean, they got to win that conference they're in. I'd say if I'm a Memphis basketball fan, I'm expecting like a 30-win year probably.
I mean, I'm not going to come on here and – talk about how Memphis is going to be like one of the, you know, the best teams in the country next year. It looks like they're going to be.
I mean,
but I'm not going to come on here and ignore the day that I feel like Tennessee basketball dies as we know it, at least as we've known it the last 2 years. Makes it hurt worse that Memphis is putting together a historically great class. My God.
Enos Kanter's not going to have to worry about going to Toronto, I don't think. You know, that was a big story this week, if it did come down to the Raptors.
Yeah, where he can't go. He was scared to go.
Yeah.
Enos Kanter, I mean, we haven't really talked about it, but have you seen where he's been fasting? I mean, he's fasting for Ramadan. Like, he has not been eating.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is he doing that?
I mean, because his religion, his faith. But, like, he's been playing these playoffs without, like, eating or drinking water at certain times of the day. Like, he's just been.
It's like sun up to sundown. You can eat before the sun comes up and after the sun comes down.
Yeah, he's talking about he's been having to wake up at, like, 3 a.m. to eat and stuff.
During the day, you can basically only drink water during, like, basically, like, the most physical times you need it.
So you can eat all night?
You can eat after the sun sets and before it rises. But during, like, actual daylight hours, you're supposed to be, quote-unquote, fasting and only drinking water, like, somewhere between, like, 4 and 8 times a day or something like that.
Seems like a bad time to do that in the middle of the playoffs.
It's part of his religion.
I mean, yeah, it's religion. Yeah, I mean, it's if someone strongly believes in something, the team can't be like, hey, we need you at your best, Enos. But, but in all honesty, when you come out and score 4 points – and grab 5 rebounds and play 19 minutes. Like, I mean, Blazers fans are probably like, man.
Sorry, guys, I'm weak.
Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Last segment before last call. We're almost there. Almost lunchtime.
So hungry.
I know. I've been hungry since 10:30. These damn green smoothies.
I didn't even eat breakfast.
Wow. And you held off on Uber Eats?
All I had was coffee, yeah. Doing intermittent fasting.
Am I being too harsh when I say that Tennessee basketball might have just died?
No. I'd say that's the correct assessment. And by died, you mean not going back to the Sweet 16.
I don't even mean the Sweet 16. I just mean the regular season.
I mean, if I had to guess our record next year, what's the over-under for next year? 20 wins?
I said it 19 and a half.
I mean, the last 2 years you've won 26 and 31. So, I know 28 and 31, right?
I mean, honestly, right now, 19 and a half seems too high.
What were we last year? 26,
we'll see.
26 and 9, I think.
We'll see. I do feel like Tennessee basketball, as we know it, has really changed. On the day Grant Williams says he's gone, and you might be replacing four guys who, you know, put the program kind of back on the map. Maybe I'm being a little too harsh.
I still think Rick Barnes is a good enough coach to keep it somewhat stable, you know. I don't think we're just going to all of a sudden go back to Rick Barnes in year one, year two. I mean, I think we'll be good enough to at least contend for the bubble.
I mean, I think that 19.5 puts you contending for the bubble. Now, granted, Tennessee's schedule is usually better than the rest of the country's, or at least one of the best in the country. So, like, 19 wins with that schedule is usually probably good enough to keep you in contention. Usually, like if Tennessee gets to 20 wins, that should be good. But, I mean, Josiah's going to have to be really good. Josiah's going to have to be awesome.
Yeah, and I'm worried about not having any real big guys that are, that are worth anything, you know?
We didn't really talk about it, but in that McDonald's All-American game, when Josiah was out there with all those other studs, like, he didn't score. Like, I mean, that's not like the end-all, be-all, but I mean, like,
he could have been sick.
It was one of those, like, one of these things doesn't belong type of situation. You know what I mean? Like, which one of these is not like the other?
Yeah.
And in a game where you're playing, you know, a pretty fast-paced, everyone kind of gets their shots type of thing, he didn't score.
At all?
And then they dropped him down to a four-star.
After that?
Yeah.
Just no points, huh?
Yeah.
None?
I don't think he had
any. Free throw, nothing?
Yeah, no, I don't think he had any. He had 0 points. Zero points and one assist.
One assist, so that's – he helped.
How many minutes did he play? Does it say minutes?
Scoring effort.
I mean, did he get run? I mean, like, he was playing whenever I watched, yeah. 18 minutes and he couldn't get 1 point, like.
One assist tells me that he helped in the scoring effort.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many rebounds?
Two.
Two rebounds. Any offensive or both on the defensive end? That's good, having a guy getting rebounds. You know. Two. The lowest plus minus.
Yeah,
of
like
all
he,
the
did, he had a really bad performance. It was such a bad performance that he got dropped like to a four star. So I'm not saying he won't be a good college player. Like we said, the McDonald's All American game is a little bit like what we talked about with Jordan Bone at the combine, right? Playing those 5-on-5s where everyone's kind of out there just trying to do, you know, get their own or just trying to play a different type of basketball. It's more pickup basketball than a structured game. Obviously, everyone knows that. These aren't teammates you're used to, but.
Parker says the guy who just committed to Memphis was the highest scorer.
Precious scored 22. So Precious scored 22 and Josiah scored 0.
Isn't that Precious?
That's Precious, all right. So, I mean, like, you know, like this could be a overreaction, but at the same time, like, when I look at this roster and you start looking around, you're asking me to put a lot of faith in guys being ready to go who have never gone before, right? Like, if Tennessee is going to be a tournament team next year, don't we have to see DJ Burns and Josiah really play to the recruiting rankings?
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be the only thing that gives you a chance. I mean, and I think it really is going to heavily depend on DJ Burns, too, because, you know, you feel okay about, like, our guard lineup we'll have. Feel all right about that, but it's the inside presence that gives me concern. Do you feel more optimistic right now about basketball or football?
I'm a Tony Vitello guy myself. What's the softball team? Good still? They're having a pretty
are
pretty
they
good
in
year.
The
yeah, I was gonna say. I got an email saying they're hosting a regional. So
why do you keep referencing these emails?
Sorry, that's just the only place I see them.
How do you get? What do you mean you get the emails?
I got on a list a long time ago. Whenever I used to do media stuff, I don't know.
They send you like the.
They don't really. They send me like the football transcripts and stuff like that. Like I guess I'm still in the old database.
That's neat.
Like you ever wonder like how people like have the same tweets like immediately when something happens? Like
yeah, no,
home and home announced with or you know we're playing. Who was it the other day? Troy.
Yeah, they send that out to journalists.
Not everyone. Not all of them are journalists. It was pretty easy to get on that email list. I'll start forwarding them to you if you want.
I don't want them.
Okay.
I'm kind of jealous, but I don't want them.
There's nothing to be jealous about. Although, I guess I did get the baseball recap that helped you in headlines. That would make your headlines easier.
That's nice when the internet goes out. Football, you know. I think that's another reason for my football optimism.
So ask that question one more time.
Which do you have more optimism in currently, the basketball program or the football program? Which gives you more hope for what's to come? It's got to be football, doesn't it? You kind of know what your peak is in basketball when you do have a great roster. So you're expecting to slide back from that. I think it's got to be football.
That's a really impossible question to answer for me right now.
I feel like football is a pretty easy answer.
You're really feeling optimistic about football? Like
more so than where basketball's at.
I mean, you went 5-7 last year.
You
got killed by Vanderbilt in Missouri to end the season.
Yes, I did.
Did you see where Jordan Davis, that big defensive line JUCO guy we have, tweeted out his top six? Like he's committed to Tennessee, and he tweeted out his top six schools, and Tennessee wasn't on the top six?
Maybe it just means those are the six he would go to if he wasn't committed to Tennessee. That's how I'm going to choose to believe. That's what he meant. These are just the schools I would go to if I wasn't committed.
I mean, it was really strange, right? I mean, like he like basically just changed his Facebook status to break up with us. He must have saw that video of the JYD dunking and was like, hey, I don't want to sit next to that guy. I can never live up to him. I'm out.
That's fine. Pull his scholarship and give it to somebody better.
What are you more into?
Football's the answer.
What are you more optimistic about? I've at least seen Rick Barnes.
Ceiling?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we have seen his ceiling, yeah. But, I mean, we've seen a ceiling. Like, we don't know what Jeremy – like, is that Jeremy Pruitt's ceiling or floor that we saw last year? Like, I mean, I guess it's both.
That's the definition of hope for me. We don't know what we're going to get with Pruitt.
Yeah, but, I mean –
it might be trash, but it might be good.
Yeah, but hope sometimes is a dangerous thing. Like, sometimes you just would rather have – like, if I said, hey, Cody, would you rather me give you a $100 bill right now or maybe next week I'll give you $200?
I'd just take the 100.
Right. It's like I feel like taking Rick Barnes and basketball is kind of just taking the $100 bill. But, I mean, you could have hope that I could give you 200 next week.
But by definition of optimism, that's what I mean, hope breeds optimism.
Yeah, like I don't think that Rick Barnes is going to give you any more than $100.
But what if Jeremy gave me 1,000? What if it's 100 versus 1,000?
I don't know. Hey, I'll give you $150 next week. Right now, $150, or you can have $800.
You give me a sweet,
maybe next month.
You give me a Sweet 16 or a 50-50 shot at an SEC football championship. I'm taking the SEC championship.
A 50-50 shot, yeah. Yeah, if you told me we could have a 50-50 shot, that means basically you're in the game and you're equal to whoever you're playing in the West. Yeah, I think everyone signs up for that.
Maybe not 50-50. 50-50 shot at winning the East. Isn't that about what the odds should be in Jeremy Pruitt's future in the next 2 to 3 years? we should at least expect a 50-50 shot at winning the division, shouldn't we?
Well, expectations doesn't really give you immediate results. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm aware of that.
Expectations doesn't mean that you're going to get them.
I expect to weigh 180 pounds tomorrow.
No, you don't.
But I won't.
You don't expect that either.
No, I don't. Wouldn't that be cool, though, if you could just suck all the fat out of you? Just put a hose in there?
They have procedures. I think you're literally describing liposuction, yeah.
I should try to get that. I don't know how, though. I don't know who to go to or how to.
I feel like it'd be too expensive.
I could do, like, the lap band. But I don't know who to go to, you know?
I feel like the lap band takes too much self-discipline.
Do we know any lap band artists?
The lap band is going to the lap band's going to make you still be disciplined and make sure that you don't eat too much to ruin your lap band.
Yeah, you'll throw up from what I hear if you do.
You don't even throw up, you just pop it off and then you're just fine. Like that's what happened to Rex Ryan, basically. He got the lap band and he's like,
Then you just gotta
Can I eat too much, I think.
You just got a rubber band in your stomach?
Basically.
That'd be weird.
Well, that was a good way to end this segment. I don't have any answer for optimism. I'm not optimistic about either.
Maybe the Tennessee Athletic Department just needs liposuction.
We don't have enough meat to get rid of the fat. We need more meat. We don't need to get rid of the meat. We need more meat.
I'm saying we need to just suck the whole thing up into a vacuum in the sky, and then we can rebuild.
Go to break, Ben. Last call on the program is brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Vodka. Hey, you see the hat? You see it right there on the periscope? The hat, you see it? Award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee, Bristol. Stop by and pick you up a bottle. Third best vodka in the entire world, according to the Berlin International Taste Competition. We love them. Smooth. I'm going to drink a lot of it this weekend. Tonight, probably. Probably going to drink a lot of it tonight. If you see me tweet anything reckless, just know that it's sponsored by Volunteer Vodka.
Call me if you need a ride.
I will.
Unless I'm
I've always wondered, too. Can I call you personally and just like Venmo you and like we cut out the middleman?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I didn't know if that'd be weird if I was like, hey, can you come pick me up? Because the other day.
If I'm drunk, I can't. But
well, yeah. I wouldn't ask you to do that. That'd just be hustling backwards. Like,
I'd be like, I'm at the bar, man.
Yeah, but, no, I wouldn't do that. But like the other day, I had to go home and I had to meet somebody to help repair something in my house. Got a leak thing I've been working on.
Right.
And I couldn't leave, but I was really hungry. I didn't have any food. And I was like, man, I almost texted you. I was like, hey, consider this an Uber Eats order. I'll pay you to bring me some food. But I was like, that seems weird that I shouldn't do that to a friend of mine.
I would have done it.
I know you would have, but like.
yeah. I mean,
then you would have felt obligated. Like, oh, don't pay me. Like, I'm going to pay you.
I would accept the money.
We just would have had a standoff. I don't know. But I didn't know if it was weird for me to ask you to do that because like, he's probably out driving. I was really, really, I was so hungry.
You can ask me for anything. If I'm on the clock and you need something, just let me know.
Okay.
We'll
cut out the middleman. If I need a ride, you want to come actually take me to Rhythm and Blooms tonight? We'll work out a fare.
I can, although I'll probably if I drive tonight, I'll probably get some surge rates. So I don't know if.
Well, yeah, this is gonna make it six though. I don't think you won't get surge rates. It's like six, will you?
I don't know. I'd probably have to charge you a surge.
We'll check it. How about this? I'll pull up the phone. I'll see what the rate is. I'll give you the same rate. You'll get to keep Uber's cut. Yeah. So you'll make an extra 25%.
25% is not all that much, though. Sometimes it surges times three, times four.
Well, we'll see if it's a surge. If it's a surge, I'll accommodate the surge. If it's a surge, I'll call a taxi, probably.
Just trust me to tell you what the surge is.
No, I'll pull it up, and I'll check. And, yeah, so like 6:30, like maybe.
John's basically giving you a price match guarantee on this.
We'll see.
Yeah, plus a tip.
Yeah.
You're going to come out way better than if you go pick up some random schmohawk.
I can't guarantee I'll be giving rides tonight. I could be drinking. If I'm not drinking, I'm driving.
At six?
If I'm not driving, I'm drinking.
Like at six, you think you're going to already be out? Okay, just something to keep in mind.
I don't know.
I've learned from personal experience, it's not hard to get Cody off the roads.
Yeah, Ben asked me to come drink with him one time, and I was out just was like, yeah, yeah, sure.
He's like, I'm out driving right now. Yeah, I called him, and he picks up the phone. He's like, oh, let me drop this guy off. I'll be over there.
Usually if you ask me to come drink, I'll come drink.
Well, I'm not asking you to come drink. I'm asking you to come drive. You can come drink tomorrow. I invited you over for Beanie Weenies and Fire tomorrow. I got volunteer vodka for us to drink there, too.
Is it like a family thing?
Something like that.
We'll figure it out as the evening progresses. We've got some.
You're not coming to pick me up.
We've got some time. I'll come pick you
Pump
up.
Pump the brakes or keep rolling. Go first.
SAT causing adversity.
I'm sure this is going to be a story about how we're going to get rid of the SAT.
It's causing adversity with the adversity score. Have you heard about this? Well,
no.
The SAT, which is a standardized test for students to take, is implementing something called an adversity score to attempt to capture social and economic background. They're trying to figure out a score that takes students' hardships into account when they score them on the SAT. It's being criticized because it's a little bit complicated, but where the threshold sits, it seems to be pretty unfair to Asian students. Asian American students. Scoring patterns on the SAT suggest that the test puts certain racial and economic groups at a disadvantage, and that has become a concern for colleges.
Okay. I didn't expect it to be like discriminatory against Asians.
Well, it's like they take the average score into account in some way, and the average Asian students had a higher score than some of the others. So their threshold is higher, from what I understand, and it makes it more unfair for them, even though it's supposed to be the opposite of that.
I don't know. I was always an ACT guy. I didn't take the SAT.
I never did either. I was an ACT man. I don't know where the SAT exists. Maybe it's that like up north.
Man killed. Man killed.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
A man was recently killed by a crossbow in Germany. He was shot and killed with the crossbow. He was found with two women in a hotel room in Bavaria, Germany.
Was one of them named Shay? And was his name Tywin?
The deaths were linked to two more deaths in Germany on Monday. And then it turns out that he was actually a leader of a medieval cult.
Wow. Might have been Tywin Lannister.
He was found with his two women in bed, hand in hand, impaled with arrows from the modern crossbow.
Was he on the toilet?
I think they were in bed. The three had checked in on Friday evening for three nights without breakfast, and the body... I'd say without breakfast, and the bodies were found by a roommate.
I mean, if you got to go out, like being in bed with two women, probably a pretty good exit, I guess.
Oh wow, they're saying it was planned. They're treating it as a planned, requested killing and suicide. Basically, they sit there hand in hand, like I said, and wanted someone to come in there and shoot them with a crossbow to kill them. I guess that's a part of his medieval cult. I don't know.
So he probably watched Game of Thrones. I mean, that's very Game of Thrones-esque. I don't want to spoil anything, but season 4, episode 10.
You've already spoiled it twice. You've talked about it twice.
Tyrion Lannister kills his father.
Four women were dead. They found two women in another room that had died the same way. He controlled the four women like a cult leader.
Wait, so it was planned so they wanted to die?
Yeah. That's what those things about cults, man.
I don't understand how cults are possible, how people can be that manipulated and that brainwashed. Cults are a fascinating thing.
Mm-hmm. They are.
That you would literally die because you were a part of this cult. You ever look at all the old stuff with Jim Jones? June Jones?
Jim.
No, he was a coach at Hawaii. Jim Jones.
Yeah.
That's who I'm thinking of.
The guy who did the Ballin' song. Ballin'!
What?
Jim Jones, you remember that song, We Fly High?
I don't think it's the same guy.
No lie.
June.
You know it. Bowling.
This is a different
guy. One of my
guy.
Favorite songs in high, senior guy. High school.
I'm almost sure it's a different guy.
It's on my book. It's on my book list.
Oh, once you finish up Columbine?
I finished Columbine. It was good. I'm now reading about the opioid crisis in America.
Can you say what you said on Twitter?
I said that Columbine was good. The book.
I'm going to cut that out as a drop now.
The book.
Columbine was good.
The book.
Why are you reading about such dark things?
Just want to become educated.
Do y'all not have any more stories? Like,
just want to become educated on the opioid crisis. This is not your game, Ben. You just tell us whenever we are illegally talking about things. We're not talking about anything we're talked about. We're talking about cults, which was tied to our story. So, yeah, we have stories. It was just a good one that led to conversation, which is the point of the game. So once you cut your damn mic off and you're not invited to come eat Beanie Weenies with us, it is no longer a family thing. I've had a bad day. You know that. I don't know why you're starting with me. You made it through 2 hours and 55 minutes without starting with me. I don't know why you're trying to rev me up right now. Get my blood pressure through the roof as I go get ready to eat lunch.
You don't have any other stories?
I got plenty of stories. The internet is nothing but stories, Ben. We were just talking about Jim Jones and reading. Sorry you're not in the book club. My bad.
So, I don't know. Now that you've completed the school shooting segment, and next up is the cults,
yeah.
What do you plan to read after that?
Either the one about
mass graves?
We're doing the opioids next, and then maybe the cult. And then there was a serial killer in Athens, where I'm from, in like the 40s.
Okay,
there's like some incest in there. I might get into that one.
Throw some, find a sex trafficking book.
Yeah. I like reading about things that interest me.
Things out there.
I didn't mean it like that.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Hope everyone has a good weekend. It's Optionals up next.